In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, within the Divine Liturgy, we celebrate the chrismation of Tracy Stockton. And with her chrismation, Tracy's journey into the Orthodox Church reaches its conclusion. And her participation in Holy Communion in a short while represents the completion of a process of conversion that has been unfolding for Tracy for quite some time. And just as each person is unique, just as each person is an unrepeatable child of God, so each of us can tell a unique story about our own journey into the Orthodox Church. Each of us has a unique conversion story. And this is true whether you have been a faithful Orthodox Christian since you were 50 years old or just 50 days old. One of my favorite conversion stories is the account given by Metropolitan Anthony Bloom of blessed memory. Metropolitan Anthony was the Bishop of Great Britain for the Russian Orthodox Church for nearly 50 years until his death recently in 2003. He's a great bishop, but as a teenager, Metropolitan Anthony was an atheist. He describes a time in his life when it was very hard for him to find meaning in very much of anything. In fact, he decided as a young man that he would give himself 1 year. At the end of that year, if he could not find meaning for his life, he decided he would simply bring his life to an end. And so it's during this period, Anthony was challenged to attend a talk given by a visiting priest. He agrees, and he reports that he hated every minute of the talk. He says that he found it impossible to believe what he called the monstrous things spoken of by this priest. And so in his indignation, he runs home and he asks his mother whether she has a copy of the Gospels lying around in the house. And she did. He decided that he would go to the Gospels, to the life of Jesus Christ, to see if there was anything in there that could possibly support what he had just heard. He decided to read St. Mark's Gospel, because it's the shortest. He sat down in anger and disgust to find evidence that he needed to prove that this priest was wrong. And here's what Metropolitan Anthony writes. These are his words. "I do not know how to tell you what happened. I will put it quite simply, and those of you who have gone through a similar experience will know what came to pass. While I was reading the beginning of St. Mark's Gospel, before I reached the third chapter, I became aware of a presence. I saw nothing. I heard nothing. It was no hallucination. It was a simple certainty that the Lord was standing there, and that I was in the presence of him whose life I had begun to read with such revulsion and ill will. This was my basic and essential meeting with the Lord. And from then I knew that Christ did exist. I knew that he was thou. In other words, that he was the risen Christ. I discovered then something absolutely essential to the Christian message, that the resurrection is the only event of the gospel which belongs to history, not only past, but also present. Christ rose again 20 centuries ago, but he is the risen Christ as long as history continues. Only in the light of the resurrection did everything else make sense to me. Because Christ was alive and I had been in his presence, I could say with certainty that what the gospel said about the crucifixion of the prophet of Galilee was true. And the centurion was right when he said, 'Truly he is the Son of God.' It was in the light of the resurrection that I could read with certainty the story of the gospel, knowing that everything was true in it, because the impossible event of the resurrection was to me more certain than any event of history. History, I had to believe. The resurrection, I knew for a fact. It was a direct and personal experience that left all problems of disbelief behind." Most memorably, Metropolitan Anthony writes about his conversion. "I met Christ as a person at a moment when I needed him in order to live." And at that moment, I was not in search of him. I was found. I did not find him. I love this story because it presents to us what I believe is the purest picture of what conversion to Jesus Christ looks like. It is a contemporary account of the biblical truth that we worship a God who is actively searching for us. He is doing so in the midst of this world that can be so crazy and upside down and broken and battered. The most haunting words in all of Scripture are those words spoken by God in the Garden of Eden just after Adam and Eve disobey and eat from the forbidden tree. In their shock and horror after they do this, we know that Adam and Eve, they run in shame and they hide themselves when they hear that the Lord is approaching. And God, walking through the garden, realizes that he can't find his children. And Genesis reports that the Lord cries out, "Adam, where are you?" There is pain, and there is panic in God's voice. And from that moment, from the very first pages of Holy Scripture, God begins his search for us. And on this day, we celebrate the good news that he has found each and every one of us. On this particular day, he has found Tracy. This Sunday and every Sunday, we celebrate the great reversal of our separation from God through that saving death and resurrection of our Lord. Metropolitan Anthony's conversion story does something else. It totally blows to bits the idea that conversion is a matter of choice that is calm and cool and kind of collected, that it's always a choice that's a matter of the mind only. Conversion is the result of a personal encounter with a Savior who is looking for us. Conversion is not the result of a conversation. Conversion is always the result of a collision. Conversion happens when we run through a spiritual intersection in life and smash into God while he is chasing us down. When you and I become Christians, when we accept baptism, it is not true to say that we have found God, but that God has found us. And as Metropolitan Anthony writes, "I needed Christ in order to live, but I was not searching for him. I did not find him. I was found." When Jesus wants you, he'll find you. And there's nothing that you and I can do about it. We hear the exact same thing from St. Paul this morning in the passage from his letter to the Galatians. He reminds his flock that his gospel did not come from men. He didn't learn it from anybody. He wasn't convinced of it by a human being. It was revealed to him directly by Jesus Christ. And we know the details of that story very well from the account given in the book of Acts. There we know that St. Paul is a persecutor of the church. He is on his way to Damascus to arrest and imprison a group of Christians. And Jesus literally knocks him off his horse, blinds him, and says to him, "Saul, why are you persecuting me?" That was the beginning of the Apostle Paul's conversion. And I guarantee you that, like Metropolitan Anthony, St. Paul was not searching for Christ. Conversion here was a matter of compulsion, not choice. It was a personal encounter, direct, that moved the apostle to see everything in a new light, like Metropolitan Anthony to see everything in the new light, the radiant light of the resurrection. But if the Holy Trinity is hotly pursuing each and every one of us each and every day, why isn't this church and every church bulging and bursting with new disciples? If God is so desperate to find us, where is everyone? The answer, or at least an answer to this question, is also given to us this morning in Holy Scripture. In our readings, we should note that we have two images of conversion. The first image is this image of St. Paul and of his conversion experience on the way to Damascus. This is an image of successful conversion. This is what happens when someone surrenders their will to God in response to a direct and personal encounter with God. But there's a second image, and this is the image of the rich man in the parable told by Jesus. And here we have an image of conversion failure. This rich man spends his life refusing to accept what God has offered him. He spends all of his energy concentrating on his earthly possessions so that he doesn't have to hear the voice of God. And even in his torment, even after he has died, he still doesn't get it. He still thinks that Lazarus is his servant, that he can manipulate God to convince his brothers to change their ways before it's too late. Send my brothers, send to them someone from the dead, Father Abraham. That'll convince them. Then they will believe. They will convert. Father Abraham says, if they would not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even should someone rise from the dead. Our churches are not full because too many of us too often do everything we can to ignore the voice in the presence of God. Like young Metropolitan Anthony, we are convinced that not all of this can be true. There's no way that God is a God of love, that mercy and forgiveness and humility are divine qualities, that each of us is already infinitely loved by God. And so we deny and we deny and we deny, just like the rich man. He hears the voice of God every day. Abraham makes that clear in that parable. Every day the Lord speaks to him through Moses and the prophets. And every day the rich man sticks his fingers in his ears and says, God, I can't hear you. God, I don't want to hear you. Brothers and sisters, every day these two images of conversion are placed before us. The images of the Apostle Paul and the rich man. The images of conversion success and conversion failure. And the truth of the matter is that each of us, every day, must convert to the gospel. Conversion is not a simple, once-in-a-lifetime experience. It is a real choice that we face every day. Every day we collide with the holy presence of God. And either we can surrender to the one who searches us out and has found us, or we can stick fingers in our ears and ignore what God pours out through his church, through his word, and most of all, through his holy presence. All of us are converts, whether we were baptized as infants or adults. All of us are converts because conversion is something that has to happen each and every day. Every day, we have to take our wills and give them over to the only person who can bring us healing and wholeness and peace. Every day, we have to hear Moses and the prophets. We have to seek a personal encounter with our Lord through the words of Holy Scripture and through prayer, just like Metropolitan Anthony and the Apostle Paul. And every day, we have to make sure that when God finds us, we're ready to be found. Amen.